You've heard us talk about the Any Day many times on this podcast, on social media. You should check it out if you haven't done so already. It's a great way not only to store food, but to reheat or cook in the microwave. Since I'm not at home all day, like during the pandemic, this is how I am now cooking food for my family. I cook a lot of food in the morning and I store it in the freezer or the refrigerator for my family to cook while I am at work, usually hanging out with Chris, trying to do a bunch of other things, but you can check it out. We also have the Matte Black IO collection. It is probably the best looking collection. Sorry, but it's true. And it's a game changer, folks. You can get 10% off your next order when you visit cookanyday.com and you put in the promo code Dave. Also, check out Dinnertime Live on Netflix. That's what I'm so busy with these days. It's Tuesday, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And all the episodes on Hulu, since we are poly streamers, are all available. Christy and Dave Dine Out, also available. Go check that out. Welcome to the Dave Chang Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, presented by Major Domo Media. Thank you, Olatengo, as always. We have Chris Ying here. It's 9 o'clock. It's after dark. I asked to do this because you and I, poor you, apologies. A few days ago, we spent, I don't know, almost 2 hours recording a podcast, and it wasn't very good. So I asked Chris and Ying if we could do an Ask Dave on a Sunday, simply because...
Oh, man.
You know, when it's like two o'clock in the weekday, man.
Oh, man.
All these drugs that I'm on, it's really hard. It's really hard for me to talk.
Oh, man.
And now I'm on different drugs.
It's just like, and just in not a cool way at all. Just not on all these drugs in any sort of a cool way. Just like the saddest way possible. He's got a real Charlie Brown vibe happening right
now.
So
sad. I got in the car today because it's hard for me to drive, and I just started to cry. God.
Oh my god! Oh man! Every time
I was like, "Dude, I can't live life like this." And everyone's like, "Doesn't look like you're hurting on Tuesday." I'm like, "I know."
When we did we do a post-mortem producers meeting after every show, and we just do it in the green room at the studio. And Dave's question was, did I wince today? Just like, no, Dave, you made it. You made it without wincing in extreme pain through today's show. Man, I feel so bad. I feel so bad for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is trying to keep this upbeat and without me complaining time and time again about this. But it's why we're doing an Ask Dave After Dark. And we're going to do a dad's, and then we're going to do some Ask Dave mailbag questions. But one of the things that we were talking about a lot on this, this podcast that you and I recorded, that will never air, is like, I don't know if this is coming across the right way when I explain it to people. I view what's happening in my life right now as this, as if, knock on wood, that if I had a minor heart attack or a stroke, right? And I would have to fundamentally change my life.
It's a wake up
call. That would be it. And it's a wake up call. And it's not a wheel of constraint or something like that. It's like, oh. And I've been doing that. I've been trying to eat an anti-inflammatory diet. Got to be honest, I think it's making it worse.
What? I guess you've said that a couple of times. What does that entail? I saw you eat one meal that was like just vegetables.
It's basically gluten. It's basically just like a whole 30. It's like no sugar, no complex carbs. You know, it's a
no fun diet.
It's actually not bad. I gotta say, spending time doing this, like, I haven't missed it because you can make it delicious. And I have to say that I think that, and this is going to get to the dad's part of this. Now that I have to do this, I think it's going to be interesting because I'm going to have to spend time making this delicious and making this good. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality. It's like, I have to, you know?
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, but like this is what you talk about on the show oftentimes, whether it's Dinner Time Live or anything else. Are you seeing this new life constraint? You've got to eat this anti-inflammatory, this sort of old 30 diet. That is a constraint for which you have to be creative now within these parameters.
Yeah. But also just, yeah, eating cleaner. I think eating clean is the name of the game. I think restaurants are going to be that way too. I think, I got to say, like lifting weights is pretty much out now. It's like totally out. Running, which I actually love to do because I hate it so much, is out. I mean, like, I it's just out of my life. I have to pick up swimming. Oh my God. And I have to do biking, but at a certain angle right now. Two things I fucking hate. Because swimming's hard because, again, I can't get enough oxygen. I don't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, swimming, I spent a lot of time in the water. I like swimming. I like going swimming, let me say.
Look at this, you know, water polo motherfucker, huh?
I don't get enough oxygen. No.
You should be retiring in the NFL right about now.
Okay? But instead,
How old are you?
I'm 36.
You should be a shoe in Hall of Fame.
But instead, you used to play water polo.
You guys can hate all you want. Swimming has stuck with me my whole life.
I agree with that. Listen,
I don't have to say on a podcast, oh, I don't get enough oxygen when I go swimming. What the hell is that?
That is exactly what happens when you go swimming. That's what happens. You know where there's no oxygen? There's no oxygen underwater.
When you swim freestyle, how are you supposed to? It's too hard. I don't get enough of air when I have to turn my fucking cheek.
Just keep your fucking head.
You know what I sometimes think, Dave? Sometimes I think,
no,
maybe backstroke. But then I'm like, I can't keep my belly up.
Or what's the one?
Breaststroke.
Dude, I would be a fucking. I'd win a gold medal. Because
you get a breath after
that. That was my best stroke.
After every paddle, you get a little breath. I agree, man.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. I agree.
It's the best. It's the lazy person. But
freestyle, you can't get enough oxygen. It's a flawed swimming.
You should try snorkel it. Just get in the public pool with a full tank and snorkel it and scuba dive.
Anyway, so things like that, and in general, for those that know me, I do things abruptly, forcefully. I get hurt a lot of time because I don't do things gently, and now I have to treat everything super slow, super gently, and I don't like it at all, but it's what I have to do. So one of the things I have to do clearly is I definitely have to lose like 15, 20 pounds to take stress off the upper back, not the lower back. And I got to just start eating. I've been eating really well, but like, this is where we get to dads. And I actually think this could be a new pivot or a new addition to the many additions to the show. I am now going down this rabbit hole and I realize it's really hard to find information. Food, at least for food, right? So for example, if you want to eat more fish, right? Where do you get fish that you're supposed to eat?
From what perspective? From the health perspective? I mean, we just went to the, on top of everything, yes. Where do you find quality fish? Where do you find the fish you're supposed to eat? Mm-hmm. Where do you find the fish that is okay to eat from an environmental standpoint? There's a million factors here, right? And then what you find is just like frozen cod. Like that's all you can find. I agree.
All right. And if you Google right now, king salmon, right? Wild king salmon. What comes up? Wild king salmon. So the top search engine in a Fulton Fish Market, wild Alaska salmon seafood. That's a hell of a URL. Yeah, I mean, like gold belly pops up. It's like, okay. So if I want to buy Aura king salmon.
Sure.
Right, which is actually farm raised from New Zealand, but it's the one farm raised salmon that I think is probably not only acceptable, it's good. You can't buy it. All right. So if I want to get frozen king salmon, where do I buy that? And how do I know it's king salmon?
Yeah, I mean.
So that's one thing. It's an issue. And you go to the farmer's market, or you go to a supermarket, like I was at Bristol Farms. Because I got to say, Bristol Farms, very fancy. It has amazing, it has probably the best vegetable fruit department of any grocery store.
And then you wander into the sea.
And on, I'm just going to say this, like, fuck Erewhon. Unless, Erewhon, you're going to carry our noodles and chili crunch, then I would change my tune.
It's true. I thought Erewhon was going to have more bespoke stuff.
No, no, no. Let me take this back. I don't want to get in trouble here. Actually, the people that fucking are going to get mad at me, I don't give a fuck. But the Erewhon stand. But here's the deal. The reason I'm talking shit about Erewhon is not the fact that I don't like it or any of these things. I hate the everything around it. That people assume that it's just better.
Yeah.
That's what I hate. I don't think that it's like inherently bad. No. Because Erewhon. Let's talk business. All right.
I want in on this game where people think they're getting something different.
Erewhon, just don't throw me a curveball. All right. Just a fastball. So in general, you know, I was at Bristol Farms and I was like, oh, I have to eat fish. And I looked and I was like, they had Patrol Soul Wild, you know. And they had rockfish, which I know is local. So I bought some rockfish because it was $9.99 mm-hmm. a pound. Way cheaper than everything else. And it was the only thing that was fresh. The sole, it was like $19.99 a pound. And I do know that the rockfish, because we get it at the restaurants, it's great. Looked nice, you know, in general. Or we've talked about the lack thereof of quality fish programs at grocery stores. But then they had all the salmon and it's all mm-hmm. frozen. And then they have steelhead trout. And then they have all this other farm-raised fish and all the marketing in the world. I should have just taken a photo of all the words used to describe this fish. I'm like, okay, great. You know, when it's like $49.99 oh a pound.
That's wild.
It's a lot for anybody. So it's like, okay, like if you're going to do this, then how do you get it from a reputable seafood purveyor? Listen, I can get this from restaurant people, but from a civilian point of view, it's hard. And no, I'm sure Maxim and Esquire and Men's Health have their, these are the top 10 seafood sites. Let me tell you what, they don't know jack fucking shit either.
Right. It's some intern who was assigned to write a where to buy your fish article. Having been that intern before.
And that intern just literally just popped it in the ChatGPT. You know?
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Great iced tea takes you somewhere else, like new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea that we have here at the Spotify Studios and drink quite a bit, where unexpectedly blackberry flavor transports you to a berry delicious place. So refreshing, you may never want to leave. You will eventually have to, though. But take your time. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf. That's 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Great iced tea takes you somewhere else, like new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea that we have here at the Spotify Studios and drink quite a bit, where unexpectedly blackberry flavor transports you to a berry delicious place. So refreshing, you may never want to leave. You will eventually have to, though. But take your time. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf. That's 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
So it's like, it's hard. So the next thing is, all right, one of the things I need to be eating is grass-fed organic or / regenerative mm-hmm. beef or animal protein. Google that. You have Butcher Box, pasture beef, Eel River, organic.
Oh, here's white oak.
Organic prairie, white oak pastures. There's so many. The only legit one that I think I found is one where you actually buy half
quarter mm-hmm. or a whole cow.
Yeah.
But I don't have that fucking yeah. storage.
Yeah.
You know? So like that one I found to be legit. But everyone else, I'm like, I know nothing about them. Like in the restaurants, we like to visit the farms, we visit the purveyors, visit the artisans. It's like, I know nothing about these places. You know, they market their food like pet food companies market pet food to humans. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not saying it's not truthful, but like, where do I find the information that this is good?
Yeah, I mean, ostensibly some, like that's the thing, like the buzzwords are also supposed to have some sort of signifier of quality, authenticity, right? Like the government said these were pastured cows or whatever. But like the truth is, it doesn't really mean anything. And I, you know, I think the point that you made, that you raised is really important, because listen, you as Dave Chang can get quality ingredients if you want to. But the average person who is not as deeply connected into food as you cannot even parse all of this information. I'm looking at a fish website right now, Dave, that says Ora King Salmon, known among chefs as the Wagyu of salmon. Nothing should ever be described as the Wagyu of anything ever again. Are we okay? Is this the Wagyu of podcasts?
So I'm not going to tell you which site I'm looking at for grass-fed beef, but listen, you need to be very suspicious anytime a company says their word "true" is in their mm-hmm. their name, but it's T-R-U, no E. And more, this is a doozy on their marketing. Any company that drops Hippocrates from 400 BC, let food be thy medicine, gotta take it with a grain of salt.
I agree. I agree with True Social Beef.
It tells me I can trust True Beef. Organic. I want to. I do. But here's the problem. Somebody's going to aggregate it, or Lord forbid, fucking Wirecutter tells me what the fucking best, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I look, I was like, give me somebody that's given me, that has data that's done this. And the reality is nobody's done any of this research.
Meaning what? Meaning.
Guess what we got to do, boys. Guess
right,
what we
right. But do, meaning boys. Ordering beef from all of these places and examining it?
Yeah. Yeah, and then going there, talking to them.
Calling these people up, understanding who they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just...
Did I ever tell you the story? The reason maybe I'm such a skeptic to this. When we opened up around 2005, so it was like 2 years after we opened up, there was not a restaurant in the universe that sold Berkshire pigs, as far as I'm concerned. When I say universe, hyperbole clearly, but it wasn't a thing in New York City. And if it wasn't a thing in New York City, it wasn't a thing anywhere else in America at that time. So like the reason I did Berkshire pigs was they were delicious, and I wanted to get Nyman, but Nyman was too expensive at that time. And this is before Nyman sold to Hormel Foods, right? It was a legit co-op. And I, you know, like most people do before opening a restaurant, they try to find their purveyors, and I developed a really good relationship with some Berkshire farmers, blah, blah, blah. Needless to say, we start to do really well, and Berkshire pigs and pork belly starts to become a thing. And you're starting to see it on all the menus. And I sat down at the meeting from one of the larger meat purveyors, producers in the world. I would say like, not of the world, in America. Pig. When I say top, they're up there. And they showed me their new Berkshire pig farm and how free range the pigs were.
I'm so sad about this already.
And I was like, they were like, look at the state of the art electronic rooms that they have that like mimics the sunlight, and it opens up the door, and it was nonsense.
And I was like, guys, like, this is like the Matrix. Like, there's nothing like, I there's nothing tangible here for me. This is, there's nothing about this. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I mean, I want to talk to a farmer. I want to, that's who I'm used to dealing with, like a farmer. You know what they wound up doing? They wound up getting pictures of farmers putting
it on the website. They're like, thank you for the feedback.
Shit. This is not bullshit. There's not one fucking ounce of bullshit in this. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? They got some farmers, they paid them money, and now they're the affiliate farmers for this giant pork producer that's now raising Berkshire hogs. And I'm like, but, oh God. You know, I just, that's why I'm a skeptic to all of this stuff.
Sure. And you could have, if you're a huge pork producer, you could even have one farmer who raises pigs that go into the pile of pigs, right? It could just be, this is our one farmer. Oh, the rest live in this hotel, this prison here, this prison block.
And listen, and that whole thing too about organic at that time, just bringing it all up, is like, the reality is some of the best meat that you could buy is not from an organic farm because they don't want to pay the bullshit to get organic labeling. So like, a lot of this is in labels, a lot of this is marketing, and I haven't done any of the work to do this. And all I'm trying to say is I'm having a hard time finding, listen, I'm not going to go online, TikTok or Instagram and get my information that way, right? Because somebody's got a lot of followers. I just want to do the homework myself, and it's just surprising that it's hard to find the homework. I haven't done really hardcore homework, no. Mm-hmm. But I'm just telling you, I'm about to.
I have a tab here open with Berkshire pigs. And one of the little bits of data on the sidebar is the conservation status of the Berkshire pig is not at risk. Thank you for that information that there's no risk of the Berkshire going extinct, nor the Angus cattle.
And if I'm going to start eating this way, then, you know, I started looking at the bread, right, that my kids were eating. And even if it's like Dave's Organic or something like that, right, whatever, which honestly, their white bread,
oh my God,
sucks.
I was the white bread done better. It's such good marketing.
No,
yeah, it's Dave, killer Dave's it's, killer
it's,
bread.
Yeah, it's
and the white bread.
Listen, no offense, Dave. You don't need my fucking non-endorsement because we bought a lot of it.
So
because
much
it's organic
it.
And it's quote unquote killer.
So much.
It sucks, dude. It sucks. I'd rather eat gluten-free bread.
I hate that it's labeled as white bread. Just label it like slightly.
No, it's off. Yeah. It's off white, like
slightly whiter, you know? Wheat bread. Just, it's not white. There's nothing white about it.
There's not white. There, it's like a brownish shoe. Put some respect on Wonder Bread's name, motherfuckers. Okay, like don't tell me it's fucking white bread. That shit is not white bread. White bread is Wonder Bread. Mm-hmm. Get that shit straight. Mm-hmm.
It's not white bread. All right? I agree.
It's dry. It's a little bit mealy.
It's real crumbly.
No, it's not. It's not. It doesn't last at long at all. It's so
like if white bread
crumbly.
Is if Wonder Bread is the kind of pillowy pillow that a white person sleeps on, then Dave's killer white bread is like the type of firm pillow like a Japanese person sleeps on.
Yeah, it's a bean pillow. It's a fucking
there's nothing pillowy
pillow.
About it.
The Iron Maiden of pillows. So that's all. It's like I was thinking about that. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I feeding my kids this? Listen, at one point I understand I have the ability to like try to get them the best. I will. And then I was like, fuck them. They can eat this. They'll be fine, right? But I have that question. But then for me, I was like, they're kids. They'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? But now I'm like, okay, like now if I, but the problem is to eat this way is fucking expensive. To eat clean is fucking expensive.
No kidding.
And I think that is not like really acceptable ultimately. You know what I mean? Like, If you want to eat clean, it's not an easy thing to do for a variety of reasons. Number one is the cost. Number two, which is really probably number one, is how do you know you're getting the right fucking thing and from the right fucking farm? When your meat comes in a plastic square puck like all the other, you know what I mean? Like,
sure. But isn't that the whole point? Like you might be the actual extreme minority here of people who are wanting to eat clean and want to know that they're actually eating clean. Because actually just buying something with the label that says whatever is kind of enough for me. And I think it's kind of enough for
most people. Chris.
No, I'm serious. I think most people want I think most people want to see Dave's Killer white bread that says like white bread done right. And I'm like, oh, I that sounds right. I think I'm doing okay. Oh, man, I think that's enough.
Fellas, there's like a whole like YouTube community around like trying to sleuth like, you know, what's really in this bread.
Yeah, a bunch of
the
people, these companies succeed because true beef, organic, regenerative, pastured, massaged, naked cow, whatever. Like, that's enough for me. I feel like I'm doing right.
I don't have time.
I don't have time to do what Dave's saying. No. I'm saying I don't have time.
They're swindling you, Chris.
I'm just saying, like, I think Dave, it's true that most people don't know.
The problem with eating clean or eating this diet is now it's a separate meal structure and ingredients than the rest of the family, which is a pain in the ass. So now it's just like, okay, how do you do this? Right. But there was like 2 weeks where I basically had almost like no carbs and I didn't miss it. I didn't miss it. Cause like you can make vegetables taste delicious. It doesn't mean low fat. By the way, I'm not I hate cooking with clarified butter. I hate it. I hate it so much. And no disrespect to all of India. That's not what I'm talking about. For me, it's the smell and it's cooking with it and in some French kitchens. And it was nonstop making your own clarified butter. And I fucking hate it. I hate clarified butter. I hate it, so I'm not.
Are you supposed to be cooking with clarified butter? I also dislike the taste and smell of clarified butter. I feel like I'm cooking with...
It's a great way... Listen, it's a great thing to work with. It has a high smoke point. It's nutritious, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, it's just too much bad experience smelling and cooking it. And I'm out. I'm out. I'm out of clarified butter. I'm out. Leave the milk solids in. So it's like olive oil. I'll just cook olive oil. But in general, I just wanted to say that I think that I'm going to start to spend time working on dishes, recipes, and, you know, get some information on what is actually useful, applicable on all of this stuff.
Amen. I would like to be the beneficiary of that / workhorse with you. I feel like I hit rock bottom after the caloric challenge, to be honest with you. I'm fucking yo-yo Ma over here.
I'm not even
joking. I looked at some clips from the latest Dinner Time Live and I was like, dude, you fucking let it all go. You let it go, big boy. It's bad. That's why I'm just sort of like, I think I gotta find some sort of actual sustainable middle ground. I'm good at crashing. That's all I'm good at.
But again, like now I don't have a choice. I have to, you know? And although this morning, because I've been getting up at 2 a.m. every day because of pain, I was so upset and so craving sugar and carbs that I sat down and helped myself to 4 bowls of my son's chocolate peanut butter cereal. 4, count them, 4.
Man. That's living.
That was like the first carbs I've had in a long time. Sugar. And I was like, I was so angry. I was like, I don't give a fuck.
You were like, I don't want to depress you. I don't want to get too sad. That's the saddest thing ever. Because I know exactly that moment. That's dark, man. That's dark.
I literally said, I don't give a fuck about anything anymore.
As you anger ate 4 bowls of cereal.
Well, I gotta say, like, if you ask the highlight of my day, that was it.
You rage.
It was so good. It was so fucking good. And that's the thing. This is where it does align with a little bit of the constraint and sort of reset. When I had to say that was the highlight of my day in 24 hours, it was, because it was, it gave me some warmth and solace in all of this pain. It tasted good. It tasted so good.
Amen. Is that where were you? Were you standing up in the kitchen?
No, I actually
sat down. And then...
I sat down because it hurt too much to stand. Yeah, no, I think I'm going to try to spend time, and I think I know there's a lot of things we're going to add, and we're going to keep tabs of all the things we've added, because they're all going to happen. Trust me, on this pod. We're trying really hard to move it to the studio too. But like, that's, some things won't change if we can't move the podcast to the studio. But I think I want to get academics. I want to get professors. I want to get influencers. You know, I want to get,
you want to get know answers. This stuff.
I want to get answers because I'm legitimately pissed that most people have no idea. I put myself in most people that sort of understands this, and I'm like, I'm not going to fucking wire cutter.
I feel like the emperor over here. I was like, yes, let the dark side, let the darkness consume you.
You know, and I'm not going to go to some fucking dude on Instagram that has, you know, no idea.
I know
what I mean? I have no idea if they're the liver king or not. You know what I mean? Like, I want answers from somebody that doesn't look like they're Laird Hamilton. All right?
Right.
Okay?
Because he's not giving you any real answers.
Yeah. I want somebody that's like, I trust, right? Mm-hmm. And you guys are all fucked if you guys have to trust me. That's how fucked we are.
Because you know he's...
Anyway. It's not really a dad's, but it's a dad's in the sense that, like, you can't be a dad if you're not around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you can't pick up, you can't throw a baseball or a football or even do anything, it's not really dad.
I feel you, man.
Dad-like. Anyway. This podcast sponsored by Wegovy.
Today's episode is brought to you by Chang's Beef, the one beef you can trust. I can't wait. That's the road we're headed down here.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of every journey of a nutrition person.
But that's the thing. Here's why, you know, it's like Ozempic sucks. Like, I'd do Ozempic if it was anti-inflammatory in a heartbeat. Then I got to do this TB12 like bullshit, you know.
Never taste a strawberry again. I feel you, man. I feel like the constraints can be helpful. Ruby's been pushing some buttons about meat eating in our house, and I'm pissed about that. She was like, "Did you
smoke while you got him?"
She turns to Keith the other day and goes, "Keith, did you know when you eat chicken nuggets, they kill the chickens?" I was like, "That's how else are you going to get to the meat? What are you talking about?" Yeah. And Keith's like, "All right, it's cool." I was like, "Well, don't you dare." I said that to Ruby. I was like, "Don't you dare. Don't you dare."
You're fucked. All right. We'll make this a dad's, proper dad's. The reason why all of this happened to you, right? This is just adding fuel to this whole life-changing moment. Hugo passed 3 days, 3 nights as I put him to bed. Dad, I don't want you to die.
Louise. Jeez, right, Louise.
She's just like, because he sees that I'm like, yeah, and
it's around. It's been in his head. It's like dad's dying. Yeah. He looks like he's dying. The face you make when you're in pain is the face of a man who is dying. Like that's what he's. Yeah, that's fucking horrible, man. Man, that sucks.
I know. Bad dad.
No,
bad dad. That's not good. No, man,
but you're doing. Listen, the life changes you're talking about are, like, to your point, are not just, oh, poor me, I have to eat healthy food now. Like, your entire approach to life. You said this to me there in the studio.
Yeah, I can't even work out the way I used to. I got it to fucking.
Hey, do you think maybe Tai Chi is our future?
I got to Tai Chi, motherfucker.
I'm only laughing because
Tai Chi, doing Tai Chi is going to be the hardest, most challenging.
I'm only laughing because that was perfect form.
Because I'm going to be like, this is so fucking boring. When are we going to hit something? Where's the nunchucks, man?
You're going to love it.
When are we going to learn the triangle bar? What the fuck?
You just got to assume that it's like a Miyagi situation and the slow movements will translate into something when you get into the ring. If you get high enough level, you can summon a fireball.
This is so sad. I was like, I'm not allowed to work out anymore.
Oh, man.
Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
You got to take it a little slower, I guess.
Cocaine, sir.
Oh.
Man. Anyway, let's take a break. We gotta take a break before it gets sad.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. No matter how you like your eggs scrambled, over easy, or sunny side up, the people at Vital Farms believe in one thing: keeping it bullshit free. That's why their pasture-raised eggs come from hens who each have over 108 square feet of space to roam and forage all year round. So you can spend less time questioning your food and more time enjoying it. Look for Vital Farms in your grocery store and learn more at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner, to learn more. Baseball is something else.
We are back, folks. Time for an Ask Dave. Want to thank everyone for reaching out and listening. I mean that, folks. Remember, you can always send us your questions to askdave@majordomomedia.com, or our Discord users can just tag at Yuno with questions and all your fucking complaints, and he'll be sure to read them for a chance to be featured on the show.
That was so crazy that you just said that off the cuff, Dave. It's just so heartfelt. Let's read a question.
Or what? Let me ask. Or all of your ideas.
Send them to Yuno.
Send them to Yuno. Who's gonna screen them?
That's not fucking funny, guys.
He's gonna screen the ideas.
That's not funny, guys. Dave, I swear, I think I've gotten like 20-something emails just on back stuff. Like people spending so much time sending back stuff.
So let's do a quick before and ask Dave. For people that, I know we've talked about this once before, but just let me reiterate. There's something that happens to you if you have back pains, so no matter where you are in the world, and everybody tells you, have you tried this? Have you done this? You should talk to my doctor. Oh, what the fuck's going on here, folks? Like, no, If you've had real back pain, you know, just shut the fuck up.
There's no cure.
I only will listen to you if you've actually had surgery or if you've done like real shit. But for anybody that's had back pains where you haven't had to have an epidural or see a spinal surgeon, don't give me your fucking advice. Right? Don't give me your, did you see this chiropractor? Have you done acupuncture?
I think you actually get it. Is it really people who say like my doctor, or don't you get a lot of my brother, my uncle, my husband, my dad?
All above.
It's always everything. That to all me. Above. It's always like, oh, my uncle had that exact same thing. Oh, really? I haven't even finished telling you what I have.
Equivalent. Yeah. Let me give you the equivalent of this. All people, not just men. Mansplain, women too, mansplain what it's like to, like, I'm going to just say as an not on the nose equivalent at all, but as a podcast equivalent. It's like a guy trying to explain to a woman what it's like to be pregnant.
Right. You're getting mansplained all over the place about back pain.
Yeah. So this weekend,
he wants us to move on from mansplaining. He thinks we're turning into a men's rights podcast. It's the opposite.
That's literally the word.
It's the opposite. Dave is standing up, making fun of mansplaining.
Men's rights podcast.
You are mansplaining right mansplaining to us right now, man.
No, you're mansplaining. Okay.
You know, that's the other podcast you edit, not this one. All right, the one where all lives matter. So. I can say this. There's only one time that, and it happened this weekend at a Hugo birthday party, Hugo's friend's birthday party, where I finally met somebody who was like, I see you. I see you.
And he was in a wheelchair.
What do they do in Avatar? What do they do in Avatar? They do this, whatever they say.
It's your head, right? What is it, greeting?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we did. That's what we did. Because he's like, so he got punched in the back of the neck in a fight. So he had to get his spine removed, a couple discs removed. And he was like, dude, I had the 6 and 7 as well. He's like, how's the pain? And he was like going to an AA recovery meeting or something. He's like, how's the pain? I'm like, dude, it's so bad. He's like, oh man, people have no idea how bad that pain is.
You, yeah. I'm sorry.
So it's a big difference when somebody says, like, did you try this? How about a sauna? I was like, fuck you. A fucking sauna.
Have you tried lying down?
Have you tried an ice bath? Shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry, but the guy.
Have you tried the salon pad? Shut the fuck up.
Can you explain how, give me a little bit more of a taste of this conversation where it was revealed to you that this man had been punched in the back of the neck in a bar fight and had to get his discs replaced. Did he volunteer that information, or were you like,
well, he showed it to me and I didn't believe him and he didn't believe me. Right. So you got to show your MRI scan. Right. So I showed him his.
So you guys went to the bathroom. You whipped out the MRI scans. You took a look. Okay.
Yeah. And it was much like my favorite scene in Boogie Nights. How about you, bitch? Right. So once he saw my scan, he was like,
my brother. My brother.
You're in the club. You're in the club. And for me, he's like, he showed me his scar.
Right.
On his neck.
He showed you his like special forces tattoo. You're like, oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh shit,
yeah,
that sucks. He's like, yeah, it sucked, but you know. And that's
what did he? Did he have the surgery?
So like,
yeah,
but he had it different because he only had one disc. I have two discs, so they took cells from his like hip, and they did some kind of replacement that way. Me, I'm just getting, you know, what looks like. Two retainers for your mouth that have been molded together and the two discs.
You're getting CD-ROMs inserted into the drives.
Anyway, I'm only bringing that up. Sorry to digress. You can't talk to me about fucking back pains unless you show me your MRI or your fucking surgical scars. Get the fuck out. I'm sorry. I don't need to know about any chiropractor or ancient meditation bullshit or that book that everyone has about back pain.
The secret.
Just do me a favor and just shut the fuck up. Let me tell you my fucking secret.
Why don't you just want?
I'm gonna write. You know what? I'm also gonna write a book about.
You should just desire for your back to get better, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm gonna write a book about back pain, and you know what's gonna say? Seek advanced medical attention.
So send your MRI scans to Uno and your scar pictures to Uno, along with any back advice. Seek immediate medical attention.
Yeah. If you believe in logic, reason, and science. Hey,
that's a
science.
Really good title for a book. Just saying. That's an awe. I wonder, whatever that book is, it's a good title.
All right, moving on. All right, let's get into the mailbag.
All right. Let's just start with something light.
We've got 47 minutes without talking about anything. Good job.
Hey, we talked about a lot of things. Okay, so the guest who wouldn't leave. Hey, Dave and Chris. There was a recent story in the New York Times about a New York City man who stayed at the New Yorker Hotel for 5 years due to an obscure rent control law. If you had to pick one hotel where you had to stay for 5 years, which one would you pick? Cheers from the best food scene
in New York?
Anywhere in the world. Let's just go with anywhere in the world.
Well, let's just say in New York, I would probably choose some good ones. I would say in the early aughts, I would choose Bowery Hotel. In late 90s, early aughts, I'd probably choose the Mercer Hotel. Yeah. I think that would be it.
I stayed in like a Tokyo style pod hotel in New York one time where like the bed was like a chair and the whole room was pink. I would not want to stay there for 5 years. I think it's a Yo hotel. Don't stay there.
I believe the Yo hotel or the pod hotel is the most profitable hotel in New York City per square
foot. I can imagine it. Every square foot was being utilized.
I would say in LA, I'd probably do the Bel Air.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking nice. Yeah, you know what? Let me just tell you, any place, you know where I could do that, you know? It's a simple answer to this email, you know, I mean, this mailbag request. Any hotel that's fucking nice is where you'll find me.
I don't understand that if you had to pick one hotel. If I was so lucky as to get to stay in a hotel for the rest of my life, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can theoretically stay anywhere.
If I had to pick somewhere to stay for 5 years, I'd be like, make it 20. I want to be here forever. I agree.
I'll stay at the Bel Air, the Chateau Marmont. I will stay at, Chiltern Firehouse. Hey,
honestly,
it's going to be great. My life
honestly,
gonna be
I might stay
sick.
At Holiday Inn Express for 5 years. That might be fine, honestly. I just like to be away.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's not really a... They need to rephrase that question. Because that's the easiest question. Too easy. Any place that's too expensive.
All right, let's move on to something more challenging. Hi, Dave. Longtime listener from India. The MSG spray was such a cool tip that I have tried to include in my cooking now, especially the use of xanthan gum, which I am now realizing is a pretty common trick used in large batch salad dressings and sauces. What other things like MSG and xanthan gum do you want to see more in home cooking but are missing due to their perception as chemically and hence supposedly not good for you? Best, Abhishek G.
Well, appreciate that. Glad you like it. I can't recommend any more hydrocolloids other than that. I just can't. You get into different kinds of gums and jellans. It's just too much. The reason I would say that is I just don't think people are going to use them properly. Or if you even transglutaminase like meat glue, like, no. I don't even recommend xanthan gum for a home cook because they're not going to hydrate it properly and they're not going to weigh it out properly. So I think MSG is probably the only thing that I would legitimately recommend and get that nutritional yeast out of my fucking sight. Let's just call a spade here. Nutritional yeast is MSG for white people. Let's just say it what it is. Call it what it is.
It's so weird that people feel more comfortable sprinkling like a cheesy smelling powder called nutritional yeast on their food than they would with MSG. That makes no sense to me.
Nutritional yeast is MSG for not just white people. It's the left-leaning white people. Because the conservatives just put fucking accent. They put straight MSG on
That's
it.
True.
They're real dodo birds.
Oh, nutritional yeast.
I love nutritional yeast. I don't get me wrong, but it's just like, you know, because I am a white person.
Why do you? What do you for love nutritional purposes. For?
It has it's a different like, taste.
Like, what do you? Do you put it on popcorn?
It's cheese. I don't fucking use it. I was just trying to.
Yeah, why'd you say? Why'd you say I love, you know, nutritional yeast?
Man of the people.
A fucking lie.
People here.
That was a lie.
Just trying to be a man of the people. But when I've had it, it's been okay.
Okay, that's so far away from I love nutritional yeast. Just like you said to us.
Listen,
you said, to be honest, I love nutritional yeast.
I didn't want to offend the people that love nutritional yeast.
Why are you afraid of them? Back into the fold, right? That's the last group you need to be afraid of. The nutritional yeast people? Fuck them. Keep going, you know. What else we got?
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Yeah. Leave that in, Victoria. All right. Dear Dave and Chris, as someone who eats out a lot, it's hard to ignore the impact of the Michelin Guide. I don't really like the idea of going out to just eat Michelin-starred places for the sake of it. It seems kind of passe. How do you read these guides? Are they guidelines? Do you have any inside baseball for how to use the Michelin Guide as a seasoned pro? Thanks, Edward G.
Still use the Michelin Guide, even, but for a specific reason. I think I use it as a filter, right? So it's one of my filters to many, right? Besides looking at the internet and social media, I look at the Michelin Guide specifically for one reason, besides Bib Gourmand. But the one thing I always look at if I'm in a town, when I go to a town that has got multiple 2 Michelin star restaurants, right? Not a restaurant, not a city where there's one, the only multiple starred restaurant is 1-2 Michelin star restaurant. That's not where I'm going, you know?
Uh-huh. Let me ask you.
By the way, I think in American history, we have the longest tenured, you know, 15, 16 years of 2 Michelin stars. With this, that's my claim to fame, folks. Anyway.
Is that true? The longest consistent?
I think we're the longest consistent without going 1 or 3. <It's too perfect.
laughs> The longest consecutive sentence. 2 Michelin stars.
I figured. Yeah. They're like, you sure you want 3? I'm like, I'm pretty sure we're going to do it. What do you do? We're like, I'll be honest, folks. I mean, there was a long time I wanted 3, but now I'm like, oh man, no.
2's good.
All that can happen is they can take it away from you. And so I don't want that shit. Right. Anyway, going back to 2 stars. I want to find as a filter, if I'm in a city that has a lot of shit going on food-wise, if they happen to be what I'm first looking at, doesn't always happen. I'm trying to find a restaurant that just received 2 stars. But, and that's the restaurant I usually want to go to. Why? Talked about this. Because they're in it. They're going for 3. Trust me. They're going for fucking 3. Right? If you're a recently elevated 2-star restaurant.
Yeah. Then you think you can get 3 for sure at that moment. You got to go.
The next 2 to 3, 4, 5 years, yeah, you're going for 3. And there have been a lot of legendary crews, most notably Arpège, when you had Pascal Babeau, Claude Bossy. There's only three other people. It was a small kitchen that got Arpège three stars, right? Mm-hmm. With Passard. Like, that's a legendary crew. Like, you want to taste. You want to taste that.
And not even just the food. You want to taste that moment. Hey, what do you think is the most accurate of the three stars? Like, in terms of a percentage of them that are correct?
Well, I think the most accurate for the mission guide is when they give the...
Yeah, the green star is the most accurate.
The green sustainability.
where like, the acceptance speech is usually like, I don't know why I'm getting this, but I got it. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, talk about checking boxes, mission guide. Jesus Christ.
We did switch to recycled paper towels. But one stars, two stars, or three stars, which one of those is historically in your mind like...
You know how they recycle tires? They burn them.
Yeah, you're getting a green award from a tire company. It's true.
I mean, I don't regret anything I'm saying. I'm out of the game, folks. Wait till I'm out of the game. Oh man, it's gonna be fun talking about all kinds of shit.
Let's go, you know.
All right, so. If restaurants have weight classes. So, hey, Dave, you've done a lot of discussion on how to classify different types of restaurants, the difference between eating out and dining, etc. If you could classify restaurants like wrestling championships or boxing weight classes into categories and give them names, what would they be? Love, Dinnertime Live, Teppanyaki is forever, Raul S.
I think the heavyweight division is it's like an open weight class, right? Like in jiu-jitsu or some boxing, you might have a small tournament that's an open weight class that where someone that's 100 pounds can go against someone that's 250 pounds. I think that having an open weight class would be the best of the best, right? Like any restaurant that legitimately you think is fucking amazing. I mean, to me, it's like the foie, tuna, carpaccio at La Bernadette, two completely different things. I can put them in the same weight class because they're fucking delicious. They're like the foie, tuna, carpaccio at La Bernadette, two completely different things. I can put them in the same weight class because they're fucking delicious. They're each intrinsically delicious. So I would have one that just everything free for all is the best. Don't matter what the fuck, right? The open weight class. And then I would have one which is really about ambitious restaurants. When I say ambitious restaurants, they're trying to get three Michelin stars or they're just trying to be the best in their city. And they're trying to do thought-provoking food or extremely driven to perfection craftsmanship. And I'd put that in a category. Mostly that's fine dining. So I think I only have like three categories, really, right? And then everything that's just fucking under an hour meal, you know? So that would be my categories. Can you be in and out under 60 minutes? Do you have super adventurous, like best picture in Oscars, right? Like the movies that would win best picture. Could be Barbie, right? Could be, you know that Oppenheimer is going to fucking... Those are those kinds of restaurants that I would put in that ambitious category. And then the open weight class is like, you know, anything and everything is on the table. So those would be my three weight classes. Or you could just categorize them as many newspapers have done and just say 25 and under or cheap eats. And that's just how I think most people have. It's like, well, if you're cheap eats and you're ethnic and if you're an immigrant, then you know where you stand. But not anymore because they're all fucking correct and woke now.
I like what you had to say about like an open weight class because I was reading this question and thinking, you know, it says if you could classify restaurants like weight classes, but isn't that just all that ever happens to restaurants all the time anyway? They just get lumped into different classes and categories and like that's the problem. So I really like the open.
Or if you're Asian, it's all the same food.
That's the thing. They're lumped into groups, and like that's all they ever do. So I like this. I like the.
Now, I mean, we have to now with our food, we have to include, you know, all the islands of Samoa.
It tastes the same though. It tastes the same all through Asia. But if I had to do this, I would say heavyweight Chinese food. All right, what else you got? You know,
no, I most categories.
Dude, the open weight class is the whole thing. That's by the media. That's the way to go.
Yeah, most of the most trusted periodicals will tell you that. You know, it's like if you cook immigrant food, you're in your own category. You know, why are you telling me no?
That's fucked up, man. Come on. No, but
how is that?
No, it's
up?
True. It's I'm true. Saying, but like
up until 6 years ago.
Yeah, maybe fewer than that. But yeah, that's.
You're cursing. Do I tell any lies here?
I mean, no, it's proper. Yeah, no, I like that the way that you framed it in terms of like how you experience it. Right. It's like some of these ambitious restaurants, you're going to be sitting there for like 3 hours, you know, so or more. And so the way you experience it, I think that's a good way to break it up.
Well, under that rubric, Momofuku could have been a 3-division champion there. You guys fought all those classes. Oh, nice. You fought all those classes.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Pacquiao that's over true. Here. I'm just saying.
Of all the fighters. Oh, boy. All right, last one. Here we go. Back of house banter.
Did I ever tell the story how, you know, I did tell the story on the podcast when I sat between Boulud and Keller, top 50 in London.
I don't even know this.
What year was it? Momo, like Sambar got like 37 in the world. I think it was the year Rene got number one like for the first
2012?
Time.
2012?
There's more to the story. The stories. It's with a lot of the chef that I can't. I have a lot of run-ins with.
2010.
I can't talk about too much. But yeah, so 2010, Momo, Sambar and Co. We were the first restaurant to have two restaurants in the top 100 were Sambar and Co. The year before, we were like 50 or 51. I was like, I'm just excited to be on the dance floor. Free booze. I'm fucking hanging out with my friends. This is great. Next year, Rene got number one. And I remember that because Rene got drunk and he never drinks ever. And we did a shot that morning at the brunch the next day after awards. And that night before, I was situated between Danielle Boulud, representing Restaurant Danielle, and Thomas Keller, who I didn't work for directly, but two mentors representing French Laundry and Per Se. I believe Sambar reached 37 that year.
26.
Oh, 26. Yeah, fuck me. So we're 26. I don't remember what Danielle was, but like I was thinking that we'll be 50 again. We didn't even have plates. We didn't even have fucking cloth napkins. You know what I mean? I was like, for sure. I'm sitting next to them in the Freemason Hall, and I'm like, they're going, and I'm like, okay, they list the 50. I don't remember what it was. I was like, fuck, we're not 50? 49, sweet. And then I'm like, there's no way Momofuku Sambar is going to outrank French Laundry. That's just not, come on, folks. That's just not, you can't. That's not even, it's like, it's ridiculous. And then they call Thomas Keller, French Laundry, 32. And I was like, what the fuck? This is like La La Land and fucking Moonlight shit. Like, what the fuck is going on here? I was so fucking nervous.
Because he was sitting right there next to you, too.
I'm wedged between the two of them. They put all the Americans together. I was like, this is the most awkward situation I could possibly be in.
Oh my god! I bet you were real happy though. Come on,
I was not happy No, I was not. I was not happy at all. At all.
Fair.
Not happy at all. I was like, oh.
Looking back at these lists, though, I got to say, it's like, I feel nostalgic. What a crazy time.
I mean, this is when it fucking was like the white hot heat shit, man.
All right, last one, guys. All right, backup house manager. Dave, I love the interactions between you and Chris on Make It Happen. When I was working on the line, some of the greatest moments I had was just talking trash to my fellow cooks and teammates. Some of the funniest human beings I know were the people I worked with back of house. It feels like this gets lost when chefs come out on TV. Even competitive shows like Iron Chef, everyone seems so respectful and tidy up. My question is there a TV show format you think that could capture the combination of back of house banter and competitiveness that comes out from working on the line? Stephen B.
Yeah, it's like Newsmax, or what's the cancel where like everyone that's canceled goes on? That would be the show.
Deplorable Kitchen.
Canceled
Kitchen.
X coming on right after Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon. No, I mean, like, literally, you can't. Those jokes and those things are a bygone era. You can't even talk that way anymore in a kitchen.
You think more people should turn heel on cooking shows?
100%.
Just go total. Just go total.
Everybody should be like, listen. Listen, you know this vegan roadie, you know, cooking for fucking bands.
He's the quinoa chef.
That's an influencer.
Yeah, the quinoa magician.
I'd be like, listen, I'm like, you know, I like you a lot, man. Like, clearly everyone else does, and clearly the producers do, because you're bringing in a whole new demographic, and you're women love.
They've never seen an Asian so tall
package. Yes, but
it's good for all of us.
Everyone's tuning in not because you're cooking. And it's good for us. It's good for everybody if you're in here next week, okay? I know this. I don't need the producer to tell me this shit. But here's the reality. It's like, when you cook, you make me nervous and everyone else nervous that you're going to cut yourself, burn yourself. And honestly, when you cook, it brings everyone down. Right? So listen, you just make it look like you're cooking. And I'm going to cook because no one likes me at all. The cameras are never on me. So don't worry, I'll be able to make my food and your food at the same time, and you'll make it next week.
Oh, gee, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. You know, but Chris Ying over here, if he spent 4 years working at like Italian and French restaurants, and then spent like 2 years working abroad, and then spent time working as a butcher, and then spent time, you know, doing all this stuff, it's like, And like, you clearly see that he's got knife skills and technique. Like, yeah. 9, 10. You know what?
I'm going to cook your food for you is such a harsh thing to say.
Yeah. 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 Just like that. Wouldn't you want to see that? Like, yeah.
I would watch this character across all reality cooking shows. That'd be amazing.
Give us 5 stars.